Welcome to the Wrestling Philosophy Show, where we discuss unique perspectives and beliefs on the sport of wrestling. Give us a follow or subscribe on various social media platforms, including YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. Enjoy the show.
What's going on, Logan? How you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, man. I'm glad we could have you on here. Looking forward to hearing some of your stories behind the scenes. Obviously, you're in a new role as a coach. We'll get into that later, but I guess going way back, what's your first wrestling memory?
Oh, this is a good story, actually. I've told this a few times, probably at camps. But so we were wrestling. I'm pretty sure it was at Monroeville, and I was probably six, five or six. I started out with this Monroeville Biddy. And I remember I was wrestling. I think it was the finals. Maybe it was just a round robin. But I was wrestling this other kid, and I got him in a cradle. I remember that cool got a cradle and like kind of had him on his back, and ref called a pin. So I was like, all right, pumped. Like I got the pin. And then we shook hands and everything, and they raised the other guy's hand. And then I was like crying, you know. I was like, what do you mean he won? I had the cradle, I had the pin. Then we like go off to the side, and my dad's like, well, they called a pin on you. Like he also had a cradle. It was a defensive pin. And I'm like, you know, I'm like, I don't even know what that means.
Had no clue, right?
I'm like, no, I had the cradle. It's my pin. So then we must have been wrestling. It must have been like a pretty decent wrestling, because the kid's dad was like, hey, you should go to this club. Like, where do you guys train at? You know, you should go to this club. It's up in LaGrange, and it was Brunette's Club.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, cool. And the kid who I wrestled was Tony Jameson.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. So then obviously, yeah, you know, you guys know his career, you know, right. Four-time high school state champion, just, you know, and it makes sense, right? Because he was always funky, when we were 6 and 7 years old. So that was probably my first wrestling memory. And it's funny, yeah. And then after that, we started going to the barn up in LaGrange and Keystone.
So, Tony was real close to being a Monroeville guy, right? And
Dad
might have gone to Youngstown, right?
Yeah, so he lived probably like 2.5 miles from me, my home.
Could you imagine?
Whenever I go home, I drive by. It's one of the ways back to home.
Yeah.
And I go by, and I, you know, tell my wife, I'm like, yeah, Tony used to live here. Tony Jameson, 4-time state champion. Like,
right. That's wild.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. Yeah. So he was right there. He was basically our neighbor.
So is your, I know Monroeville's changed quite a bit from you're there, that huge gym, and Coach Nestor there, he has a little guy involved, and he's getting, trying to get the program back. I know they had a bunch of biddies last year, and he's really pushing hard. Is your dad coach? Someone mentioned to me the other day, your dad's helping out maybe, or is he coaching?
So he's done a couple practices with him. So
okay.
Dad's a workaholic. So,
right.
You know, he's always working, but I know he's ran a couple practices and stuff. So he's kind of, doing a little bit. You know, he likes it, and keeps him around wrestling, and he doesn't really know too many moves still. You know, it's been 20 years in the sport, but he can push the kids hard, which is good. You know, some of these guys just need to, if you're in good shape and you're pretty strong, like you can wrestle, you can be pretty competitive.
Right.
You know, and right. Tyler's doing an awesome job, getting the kids exposed and stuff. So, yeah, he's liked it. You know, yeah. Trying to get this tough. You know, not running it like we used to, but it's still, right. It's still pretty good.
Yeah, it's funny when we hear and Jeff running a practice at the barn, and everyone knows, okay, they know what they're in for, right?
Yeah, you get scared a little bit.
Yeah,
it's
funny. Coach Bellamy's like, all right, he'll get the text, Coach Stever's at my island tonight, and he knows who to take and who needs to kind of tuned up.
For sure.
So I guess talk a little about that, right? So you obviously, Monroeville, and then you go to LaGrange. What was your high school practice like? I mean, you kind of obviously Coach Bauer, and you had a crazy hammer room, but then you had, the Milan barn right down the road too, right?
So yeah, it was nice to have the Milan. We were driving up to LaGrange, mm-hmm. 3-4 times a week. So I forget the exact time that it changed, but it was really nice and convenient to have Milan. But yeah, we would do double practices probably 2 to 3 times a week. Okay. The Monroeville practices were good. We spread ourselves by wrestling all the other kids, like, right. And working with the other kids. We didn't like just wrestle each other and go hard, because we knew that we were going to go hard, you know, mm-hmm. 6 o'clock, 6:30 at night. So, you know, they were good practices. We ran a lot, I remember, which was good for me because I was always overweight. Yeah. So we ran a lot and, you know, did lots, you know, different drills and stuff. And I loved Coach Bauer and our Coach Bellamy and
right.
You know, Coach Hank. And yeah, so we had a cool crew. It was a fun crew. And then we'd go up to Milan, two, three times a week. And, yeah, it was fun. It was, yeah, I mean, wrestling, I mean, I have a lot of kids in the club now that go to their high school practice and my club. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. to me, I was like, well, of course, you know, you did two practices a couple mm-hmm. days a week, right. But you know, a lot of kids, aren't used to that.
Right. Right. I mean, they are or they aren't, right. It's yeah. No, in between. Yeah. I talked with, Jody and Scott, Burnett quite a bit. Actually, I was talking with Jody last night on some things coming up this season, but, one thing they told me, I don't know if it was at a Burnett banquet or something end of the year, Ron took you aside and said, Evan in the club, this guy has it, right? You're probably, I don't know how old you were, but you were young, obviously. You have any, you know, what kind of memories that stick out, you know, Coach Ron Burnett that stick out to you? Is that one of them, or is there any others?
Yeah, I mean, I remember the banquets. I remember always the banquets. They were fun. They were cool. And you know, Coach Ron pushed us hard, right? He pushed me really hard, and it was good for me. At the time, I didn't really always love it, but it was good for me. He was always gave out Jolly Ranchers after practice.
Oh, really? That was his thing.
Big thing of Jolly Ranchers. Yeah. So that was cool. But yeah, I remember that a little bit. You know, the day, you know, he was like, you know, kind of stood me up and was like, you know, this guy has it. You know, and it was pretty cool just because the room was so good. I mean, I've forgotten more names than I could remember of the studs in it. And there's, you know, some guys are generational studs where they wrestled all the way through, you know, like the Kilgores and the, you know, Palmers would come up, and who else was in there? You know, Cam and Chris and all, you know, just, you know, Squires were there. And then some guys would just
Jamie,
you know,
would come up.
Yeah, Jamie Clark. Yeah. I mean, it's unlimited people. Mm-hmm. And then there's just some kids who were just awesome from ages 8 to 10, mm-hmm. or awesome from ages, you know, 10 to 14, which, you know, people burn out or whatever. But at the time, you know, it's just, there's tough kids to wrestle. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it was tough. I mean, I was very lucky, you know. I hear from my wife ran track and cross country, and she played other sports. Okay. She ran track cross country at Ohio State, and just through, you know, high school and everything, college, everything, you know, there's always like, you know, kind of talk about coaches, right? She liked all her coaches, but sometimes you hear some of the stuff and I'm like, wow, like, I never had a bad coach in my entire life.
You didn't realize it at the time, right?
I never realized it, but through you know, Biddy, through college, you know, international, I never had a bad coach. I'm like, mm-hmm. wow, I'm pretty lucky, you know, right. pretty cool. So yeah, Coach Ron Burnett was the man. They were tough practices. he pushed us hard, but yeah, he was cool. I loved it. I just remember, it's funny how things come to your mind.
Right.
He used to say, like, he'll give you $1 for every fireman's carry you hit.
Oh,
he
really?
He loved the fireman.
Right.
And it was a move I just didn't hit. Uh-huh. It was like, it's a great move, mm-hmm. you know, and Eric was awesome at it. But I was a head inside single guy. But I probably hit probably 5 or 6 firemen that day.
Yeah.
No money.
That's funny. No, we could talk, you know, obviously Ohio State stuff, but obviously our connection's, you know, local here. But,
yeah.
Do you remember your first and last practice over in Milan or at LaGrange? Do you remember kind of going back what you're walking into, you know, what the Burnetts were and the kind of what that last maybe practice, or maybe you didn't know it was your last practice there, or, you know, because there were some, you know, some killer workouts, obviously. And
yeah,
you know, there's a stage, right? You go in, you're kind of overwhelmed, then at the other, and then you're kind of now the teacher, right? But any practices that stick out or any memories that way?
Trying to think. Well, yeah, I mean, I remember the one, I mean, there's just so many, there'll come mm-hmm. more. One of them, I just won, it was Fila at the time, Fila, the U20s, whatever. Mm-hmm. I was in high school, sophomore in high school. I beat a couple college guys. I beat Ramos, David Thorne, Tyler Clark, a bunch of tough guys. There's another kid in there that was good. But Zach Sanders.
Okay.
Yeah. So I just won that. And it was, you know, college kids, you know, and now it's the UWW, you know, juniors or whatever. And it was a big event. I remember the week afterwards we were practicing and we were doing like a small group and we were wrestling with a bunch of kids and one of them, Harrison Hightower, who was an awesome wrestler himself.
Real tough on top, right?
Awesome on top. And he rode the crap out of me that practice. I was just getting my butt kicked. And Eric made me do mountain climbers. And I was crying. And I was tired. I was like stressed. And I remember like thinking like, what the heck? I just won this huge event where I beat college kids. And now I'm getting my butt kicked and I'm just crying and crying. It was a tough day for me.
Yeah.
No, Eric didn't really ever, you know, he was tough on me, but I didn't really ever make any mistakes. So it's easy to, you know, if you just follow, you know, just do all the right things and don't make mistakes, work hard. There's not too many troubles. But that was a day where Eric really got in me. So that was a practice I remember. I don't really remember the first or last.
Okay.
I mean, my first practice, I remember I cried, but I think I cried probably for the first couple months. I just had never been used to that type of wrestling when I was young. I don't remember the last practice. I remember a couple of the takedowns I got against Eric. Those were good.
Okay.
Not too many of them though, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Not too many takedowns with Eric, and he was something.
Yeah, still is, man. still a great guy.
Yeah. I listened to the one podcast you had with Willie Knight. So Willie helped out
with
some stuff, and he told the story. The one practice I used to cut weight like everybody, like pretty bad, pretty poorly. Mm-hmm. So I'd suck all the water out and not sweat that much, and just feel like crap. So my weight would be down, and I wouldn't want to do anything. I just would just sit there and just sleep or not eat or drink anything. And so so we had to do matches, and I was with Eric and Scotty, and I was just like, you know, ragged out. Yeah. I was wrestling and I just was dying, and they were all mad at me. And then I had Jamie, and I was like, if I tech them, it's so like I want to be done. Leave practice.
Yeah.
And so they're like, okay, cool. Like, cause we had to do the whole match. And I was like, I don't want to do the whole match. If I tech them, it's over.
I'm done. Right.
I think I took Jamie down and gutted him 4 times. And,
you walk out then.
I walked out. Yeah. I said, all right, see you guys. My dad, I remember my dad was there, but he must have came from work. So we drove separately. And I just
luckily, right?
I drove home. Yeah. I got my keys, drove home with my wrestling shoes on. Nice. So yeah, I mean there's a lot of crazy stuff, crazy memories there. But those are some of the ones that kind of stick out.
That's cool.
Initially, yeah.
Yeah, that phone with Will was a good one, man. He's a good guy. So we talked about last practice. You know, with these super cards, are you 100% for sure done, body done, or was it?
Yeah, I'm done. Wrestling is so interesting. People ask me, you know, do you have the itch? Mm-hmm. And of course, if something came around where it was just like you know, crazy money, you know,
right.
It's hard to say no. But it's for me, it, you know. I never wanted to be someone who stayed in it too long.
Right.
Stayed wrestling too long. You know, when I was done, I wanted to be done. And you know, a couple of years ago, I was like, I'm done. I don't. It's too hard. Wrestling is really, really tough, and it's really stressful. And I didn't want to do it anymore. And I was talking to the guy who I help with, who helps me with the club. He was talking. You know, he does some jiu-jitsu stuff. And, you know, he was excited to compete, you know, 2021. And I was like, man, I don't think I was ever excited to compete. Like I was always excited for like, you know, winning and the fun stuff and the traveling and stuff. But competing is just very, very stressful.
Stressful, right.
It's very stressful. Right. So it was like, I never was like, man, this was a fun match. Mm-hmm. Like there's not that many, there's no matches that were fun. Yeah. Like, of course, if I pin the guy in the armbar half and the crowd goes wild and then afterwards, we have a celebration, we beat Iowa or something like that. Then it's like, yeah, of course that's fun.
Mm-hmm.
But the wrestling's pretty stressful. So, I don't see any matches in my future. I'm good with it. Yeah.
Gotcha. No, you kind of talked, you know, the stress part of it and your bad day, you know, obviously, did you see it as kind of, you know, what was your perspective on those bad days? Kind of, you know, obviously I was never at the level you were at, but, you know, days is, you know, I share the same feeling. It's like, man, it's, you know, not stressful, right? You get all that pressure on you and things like that. And, you know, I viewed it as, you know, I was blessed with some ability. Let's use it type thing. You know, I guess, you know, when you have those bad moments and self-reflect, was there anything you kind of reflected on and kind of that pushed you through? I know, you know, the weight cut sometimes got hard, you know, in college and things like that, but you know, was it Hunter, you know, my thing was my brother coming right behind me. I was like, I gotta set a good example for them. You know, that was my thing. I quit, then it's gonna give them the option to quit, right?
Self-talk. So you know, me and Hunter were like just like friends. You know, we didn't like, you know, we weren't really, we were like, I guess more like, just like, like unspoken, like motivation. Okay. So we always had each other's back type of thing. But for me, it was just, I had a lot of good self-talk. So I had a bad day. By the time I was in college, if I had a bad day in a room, it just was like, oh, sometimes you just got to take your medicine. Mm-hmm. You know, you just get beat up and you know, if things aren't working, you're like, well, I know that I'm still good. You know, I know that, you know, my wrestling's still good. I just had a bad day, got to fix some things. So that was kind of, you know, for me, that was one of the, you know, things that helped a lot was just good self-talk and just like, okay, well, I'm wrestling guys who are really good. Like, you know, the guy, you know, Ramos isn't better than Reese or isn't better than Sean Bunch, you know, and obviously Ramos was good. Maybe he would have beat him in a match, but in my mind, I'm like, well, he can't beat Jay. You know,
he's the guys you're going with every day.
He's the guys you're going with every day. So I'm like, well, that's, you know, so yeah, you know, maybe I had a rough day today, but you know, the guy I'm going to wrestle is not going to be, you know, that guy. You know, so that was something that helped me out in college in my bad days, was just that self-talk. And in high school, you know, I didn't really have too many bad days. And when I did, it was just like, you know, I wrestled enough that it just was, you know, it lasted 12 hours and then I had another practice. So it was like, I had a bad day, you know, 9 a.m. tomorrow, we're back. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, 24 hours, I have another practice where then I'll go hard and try to kick someone's butt. But, you know, high school, it wasn't as you know, as many, you know, tough ones as it was in college.
Right. So you mentioned kind of a lead by example, right? Kind of you and Hunter. So, you know, being a competitor now, you know, running a club, you know, starting a business, right? You got to go from leading by example to kind of being more vocal. I mean, is there any other obstacles? I mean, maybe that's not an obstacle, but kind of making that switch, you know, to a coach, you know, what have you learned kind of self-reflecting on that process?
Yeah. You know, that's interesting. Cause I was never like, you know, I was a captain at Ohio State, but it was only because of, you know, my results and kind of how I worked out. My work ethic. I definitely didn't like make speeches or anything like that. I was very, very silent. Mm-hmm. So this now as a coach, just trying to always give the guys a broad sense of like, hey, you guys got to relax, stay in your stance out there. Let's focus every minute. And then, you know, have these little conversations with the athletes, whether it's the RTC guys or it's, you know, the kids club. So it's definitely been a lot more vocal on my end, but it's been fun. I learn a lot, man. I learn a lot from the kids. I'm like, okay, this is working. And then I'm like, yeah, man, I don't know. Like, I don't really know how good these guys are. And they go to a tournament, and, like, they beat a ranked kid or, you know, we have a bunch of kids qualify for OAC State. I'm like, all right, the kids are doing pretty well. Mm-hmm. You know, kids are working hard. So yeah, it's definitely a big learning experience, but it's been fun. It's been a lot of fun working with the guys and trying to lead them, you know, and try to think like what are the really, really important things. And I'm not really a yeller or anything. So, probably opposite of my dad.
I was going to ask that.
Yeah, the opposite of my dad. So I'm just trying to keep him relaxed. Cause I, you know, in my mind, we teach him the right stuff and teach him the right moves and stuff. So I always tell the kids, I'm like, listen, you guys ever see the kid out on the mat, you know, screaming and crying and the coaches are going crazy and they're throwing a fit, that kid usually doesn't win.
Right.
So, I mean, it's just, you know, they just usually don't win. So it's like, you know, you're not going to be the one out of a million kid who does that and win. Mm-hmm. So let's relax, stay calm. And like I said before, we talk about this, you know, just, you know, with the Ohio State stuff, where it's like, if you get your butt kicked, sometimes you just got to take your medicine. Right. You know, you don't like it, but some kids are going to just kick your butt. I don't know.
Right, right. Yeah, speaking of yelling loud, Coach Roth, you know Coach Roth, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He always would say, he who yells most knows least. And, you know, I think there's a lot, you know.
Yeah.
You go to these bitty gyms and people are yelling. It's like, they're just, you know, usually don't know a whole lot, you know, usually, you know, sometimes.
Yeah, yeah, but, yeah, for sure. So, yeah, I try to stay calm. Sometimes the kids get me fired up, but for the most part, I try to stay calm.
Yeah, kids are honest, man. They're in practice and you're saying something, these little kids will be honest. I asked Colin and we had Reese on, Zeb and I had Reese on, the Barbarian Hour we do. And I had Fretwell up, I mentioned a couple years ago, and he was showing some sort of cradle and said something about Jay Jaggers. And we had 50 kids in the room. It was over at St. Mary's. He's like, who knows Jay Jaggers? And like two people raised their hand. He's like, he was so, you know, so confused. So any matches that you get kids coming up to you, maybe saying, hey, I seen you on this match or something, or what's, I mean, obviously you won, obviously most of them, but you know, any matches that kind of stick out that you at camps or at practices kids bring up to you?
I mean, sometimes kids after I coach against them, they're like, oh my gosh, Logan Stever.
Okay.
I'm like, yeah, what's up, guys? I'm trying to think. Kids always ask me who my toughest match was.
Okay.
Which is always like, you know, sometimes the toughest matches aren't the best guys.
Right.
It's tough matches. No, not nothing. Really.
Okay.
I had one little kid in Iowa like 7 years ago say I should have got pinned. And the dad was all laughing. And
what do you say? So was the dad telling him to tell you that?
Dad probably told me, yeah. Oh, I don't know. Me now, I would have been like, no signature.
Get out, right?
No, I was young and nice back then. I wasn't as weathered and beat up, so
right. turning into Jeff a little bit, right?
Yeah for sure. So yeah, you know, people, yeah, just ask what toughest matches are and stuff like that. You know, every once in a while you get, you know, people asking about you know, like your favorite match or like, right, you know, okay, championships, stuff like that.
Gotcha. No, I was just curious. You know, it's these, like I said, these kids, you know,
they don't know. I did a camp this year, and the coach was like, it was like all the high school, like all of one team and a couple other random kids, and he was like, you want an introduction or anything? I'm like, no, we can just get going. Like, they don't have to know. I mean, they know who I am already, so it's like you don't need to read off any stats or anything. Like, and one of the kids who wasn't with the team was like, asked me where I wrestled. And the other kid was like, dude, Ohio State, duh. And they're like, oh, I didn't know that. And they had like a poster of one of the years at Ohio State. And they're like, yeah, he's right there. He's like, that's you? And I'm like, the kid was pretty good. I'm like, yeah. He's like, dang, no one even told me. And I'm like, that's good. Just listen, you know, who cares?
No, it's, yeah, it's wrestling though, right? It's kind of funny how that works, right? It's, yeah, I think we're blessed too, right? I mean, the access, you know, we have as wrestlers, you know, to these top level guys, right? And some other sports, like, you're not getting, you know, autographed to these, you know, elite level Olympic athletes, you know?
Yeah, the access thing I always am debating myself in my mind. I love the access. I do think that sometimes people, not necessarily take advantage of it, but are easily offended when someone says no.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's got to be a good you know, kind of give and take, where it's like, I'm sorry, I gotta go, I can't do autographs right now,
right?
And people get upset, like, oh, like, you know, like they shouldn't do that, like it's hurting the kids. But sometimes people just have to go, right, and I think, you know, we get so caught up in the access of it, or we, you know, I see it sometimes in the, not as much, you know, anymore, but back when we were at, you know, at Steelwood, people would come in and be on the mat and trying to like show stuff. And
you're like, trying to practice or teach.
Yeah.
You
know,
trying
so it's to coach. Like, you know, it's like, yeah. So it's like, you know, there's gotta be a good give and take, where it's like, you know, be thankful that the access is there, because wrestlers are extremely accessible, you know, and now, you know, people are really, you know, really, you know, becoming popular, you know, so there's definitely, you know, I like it. It's funny because people sometimes I'll sign something and they're like, I won't sell on eBay, I promise.
And you see,
I'm like, listen, it would sell for $3. Like, I've signed 10 million things. You know, it's not a signature that's worth any money. Like, I've signed a million. You know, it's like, so it's funny, but I definitely think overall it's a good thing that we're accessible to the kids. I think people can kind of see themselves and you know, it's cool to meet people who you watch on TV.
So. Right. Yeah. And it's, you know, changing quite a bit in these last 6-8 months, right. With these, these cards, and now, you know, multiple cards and months and nights even, right. You know, we got some big stuff coming up. You know, going back, you know, talking from your coaching angle now, right. You know, your club and RTC, you know, growing up, you were the man, right. You know, from the get, right. And then you had, you know, brother and, you know, Chris and Cam behind you. You know, was there a moment you kind of felt pressure, kind of like, was there a moment you kind of like, oh, I'm the guy, you know, I'm pretty good, or, you know, I'm at the top. And what was there a moment you felt that? And I guess second part is, you know, now you're coaching, right. You're getting these elite kids to come to you, you know, youth wrestlers, these dads, all right, my kid has it. I want them being coached by, you know, the guy, right.
Yeah.
What do you say to those kids? Cause what you say, okay, about pressure obviously means something because you've been through it as opposed to other coaches. So I guess it's a two-part question.
Part is like, yeah, I always felt pressure, you know, but for me, again, it was the self-talk that helped. And I don't know if there was a specific time. I thought that I was pretty good after I won my first, like, FILA cadets. I was like, I was in eighth grade before Fargo. And I was like, oh, just beat some nationally ranked guys, like nationally ranked in high school. I'd won Tulsa and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But I never really felt the pressure, never got to me. I started to feel a little bit of pressure at the end of my career. You know, I never really felt the pressure. You know, it never really got to me early. So I never thought like, okay, yeah, I'm the man, because my whole life I was expected to win. Mm-hmm. You know, probably by the time of 8, you know, I always tell, sometimes people are like, oh, you retired so early at 28. And I'm like, yeah, but I trained like an elite athlete from age 8 to 28. At 20 years of elite training. So, you know, since I was 8, I was always like, of course you won. My grandma and grandpa would be like, oh, like, the guy was pretty good. You know, you couldn't pin him. You beat him 15-0. Like, no, you couldn't score at all. He wasn't that good, you know? So that type of like, you know, where, so I was always had that pressure. So I think that just helped. So it was never like a big deal. Like, of course I'm expected to win. You know, even in college, it would be like, okay, we need you to pin here. Like, mm-hmm. You know, we're only gonna win maybe 4 matches. We need a pin. And I was like, all right, that's kind of a lot to ask. This guy's kind of good. But I just kind of, yeah. So that for my end, it was always like that. I always needed to. I always, yeah, it was expected to win and had to win big. And then when I have kids, you know, I just for me, I just try to always tell them to relax, like. Breathe and relax, because again, I know the wrestling is pretty good. But if they're an elite guy, like, I know the wrestling is pretty good. So breathe, relax. And when you lose, especially, you know, it's nice to have a set date, which is, you know, the OACs or the state tournament, mm-hmm. you know, we got Super 32 or preseason nationals or a tournament in January. You know, it's not a, well, you know, this is all practice, the real events in March. Like, these are real events, you know, mm-hmm. and it's important to do well and win, but like, let's learn from it. Mm-hmm. From it you lose, let's learn from it. And when, you know, when it gets stressful, it's just other people putting the stress on you. So if you can try to keep your mind relaxed and you know, just keep working to get better at it, what they're doing, then, you know, that's kind of what I try to do for them. So just try to keep them relaxed. Cause again, the real big studs, I know they're good. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, yeah, you guys are good. You made a mistake. Like, we had our one guy, he was undefeated last year and there was no state tournament. Right. He was in mixed bracket, Mick Burnett.
Okay.
So tough kid. And he wrestled preseason nationals. He was in semis, kicking butt. Preseason nationals and semifinals, up by 4 with like 10 seconds left. And the kid twisted him and then twisted him again and got back points and won by 1, you know. And it's the first time he lost in probably a year and a half, you know. And it's sometimes you just things like that happen. And it's just, okay, well, you lose. And, okay, let's just keep working. Your wrestling was awesome. Like, his wrestling was so good. Like, people were like, oh, my gosh, this guy's kicking people's butt, man. He, like, this kid's tough. Who's, you know? I'm like, yeah, he is tough. He's really good. You know, so just trying to keep him relaxed, you know. And I have, at least from my end, from what I've seen in the club, all my parents are really good. Mm-hmm. So, that, you know, you know, of course, they might yell at the kids afterwards in their home, but there's not really yelling. There's no yelling, you know, at my club, stuff like that. So, you know, the parents are all cool and they get in. I think my tone helps kind of relax them and kind of like, okay, well, maybe let's just calm down a little bit. You know, let's focus, you know, and not worry about yelling and, you know, stressing our kid out.
Right. It's, you know, that drive home's, you know, key, but it's kind of dependent on how you're running the practice too, right? If you're yelling and getting on the kid, right, parents like, man, you know, Coach Tieber's getting on my kid, and that car ride home could kill his career, right? I mean, that's we've seen that. You talked earlier how those 8 and 10 year olds that are, you know, they just don't pan out, right? And it's usually a parent's kill the career on the car ride home, right? And if you set that tone in the room, you know, it kind of, I guess, kind of helps, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
So are you guys at the MMA facility now? You run your club out of
Central.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're at an MMA facility in Dublin, Ohio. And it's been good. It's been really good. It's cool. We use it a couple times, you know, over the summer and stuff. And the people have been great to us. So we've been running it out of there. They have their stuff, you know, all day and, you know, till a little bit later. So we go five days a week. So we only do one practice at night. But yeah, it's been good. Kids are working hard, and we have a smaller group. But yeah, it's been really good. Yeah, the people there are awesome, and like I said, our parents are cool, really good, and just trying to, you know, do all the right things. You know, temperature checks. Everyone in there has a mask on. You know, even now I have all our coaches, when we're coaching, wear a mask, because I'm getting tested all the time. So whether it's because contact tracing or someone gets it and I wrestle with them, you know, with RTC and I get sick, it's like, I want to keep everyone mask on, and, you know, so it's definitely been, it's been challenging, but, you know, you're seeing people just, all right, let's, you know, what can we do? You know, instead of complaining and, mm-hmm. getting on social media, which, you know, it's still going to happen, mm-hmm. but it's like, okay, well, what can we do? This is what's happening, and mm-hmm. what can we do to, you know, keep things going and be prepared? So I'm always telling our guys, like, listen, you guys gotta be ready. You know, whether it's school or with wrestling, it's like, they say tomorrow that the event's on, mm-hmm. you know, they let's just say Ironman, they cancel Ironman. They say, hey, we're back. Mm-hmm. Like, are you guys gonna be ready to go? Mm-hmm. You know, let's keep ready. And same thing with, you know, school. It's like, right. slack off virtual.
You're right.
And then, hey, we're back next week, man. You know, and we have a big test, and then it's, you know, midterms. Mm-hmm. Better not have a bunch of D's and S, or you'd be in big trouble. So, so yeah, it's been good. It's been good. And you know, just taking it, you know, one day at a time, and trying to keep building, getting our guys ready to go.
Are you, you know, I was talking to, like I said, Jody and some other clubs. Are you full then for your club for the winter, or are you running camps on this, you know, beyond the club? Or, you know, you said you're keeping it small, but I know a lot of clubs are keeping their cap just so they have that same group in there. Are you guys full for the winter session, or?
Yeah, well, we're pretty full. So ours is on a monthly thing. So some of the kids, we'll do their high school stuff in December. The high school kids, some of the kids were just November. So we have a couple spots open for our elite group. That one was full in the first month. So we'll have a couple spots. I'd imagine those get filled. And then we have a smaller, like, novice, you know, first through mm-hmm. 3 years of wrestling. And that one has some more spots available.
Cool. Go and just search Steber Elite, Google that, and it right comes up, right?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And Instagram and all that stuff. Yeah. My assistant's a beast. So he does all the social media and website stuff. And
who's that?
His name's Sal Marandino.
Okay, yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So he was in the same club as Miles Martin.
Nice.
And he went to Ohio State and wrestled a little bit, and he's been doing some jiu-jitsu stuff. And when I last year when starting the club up, just was thinking, and you know, Coach Ryan was like, man, you should get Sal to do, you know, your photography and your website and stuff. And I was like, that's a good idea. And I was like, well, actually, I should get him to do everything for me.
You need that guy.
Like, he's like my right hand man. He does all the, you know, all the coaching with me and you know, and stuff. So yeah, it's been good. It's been real good.
So I guess that's, you know, right. You're essentially an entrepreneur now, starting your own business. Anything else besides that you've kind of like, you know, COVID or non-COVID related that you've learned kind of as a business guy now, right? Going from athlete to kind of business guy. Is there any other things that now I know this that I didn't know before?
I mean, I've learned some marketing stuff. Uh-huh. You know, that stuff with my like accountant and you know, making a business, you know, we try to run ours, you know, like a business, mm-hmm. like a business, like professional, where it's, you know, they're signing up online, you know, for the most part, we're not taking cash or stuff like right. that. Like everything's online. You can do all that stuff. So we're trying to do it all, you know, real professionally and in a way that's different than, just some other clubs. Right. So it's been, you know, some, not all the wrestling people are receptive to it. You know, they're like, well, you know, I just want to pay you cash. I want to pay for right. 6 years in a row and give you a lot of 5,000, you know what I mean? It's kind of, whoa. Yeah. So yeah. It's been cool. You know, just learning some of the ins and outs of, you know, just some of that, whether it's tax stuff or, right. you know, moving it into, you know, whether it's an LLC and now it's, you know, an S-Corp.
Right.
So I was like, you just kind of, you learn stuff like that. And for me, it gets me interested in other things. You know, I wasted a lot of time in school, you know, learning stuff that I didn't really care about or not learning stuff that I didn't care about, you know? So it's like, okay, well now it's okay. Now I'm learning a lot more.
That's post-school. Cool. No, it's cool. No, you know, pass it on to the next generation, right? The next kids you're coaching now are going to be, you know, business kids, business guys someday.
My kids are smart. One of our kids who's the tough kid, he was, you know, drop shipping, you know, these workout stuff. Like, you know, 30 bucks a thing. He was selling it. I'm like, dang, you guys are smart. Like, I feel like these guys making money, you know, high school kids. I'm like, you guys are smart kids. Keep it up.
Yeah, I had a freshman yesterday. We were talking a snow day yesterday and kid text, hey, I just made $250 this morning shoveling driveways. Good for you, buddy. I wanted to pull something up. I mentioned, you know, we were talking about Jeff, and this is a video not many have seen. I'm going to try to share it here, so bear with me, but it's you know, I think 2005 OC State, so it was you and Hunter there.
Yeah,
I just want to, you know, kind of talk about it and I guess your memories, you know, growing up with the OC stuff, because I think that was you know, you look at some, you know, not just you two, right? But some of the names that were in these weight classes were crazy, right? Let me try to share it here. Pull it up here. All right, here we go. So this is a quarterfinal match, right? So it's
yeah, Hunter versus Gus. Gus, I mean, Gus was the man. He was number one seed, I think.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
He gets the takedown, I think OT. And that's Dave Taylor, right?
It's Dave Taylor, and that's David behind him.
Behind him here.
Yeah, right? I was warming up. And then right in the right corner is Jerome Robinson's dad.
And you end up wrestling him, or no, David wrestled him. Oh, yeah, right there. Yeah, okay. Yeah, and then chair
Jerome
over.
Yeah, so he was in our club.
Okay.
Jerome was a beast. His family's awesome. All those guys. Yeah, I mean, it's funny. You look back at, Hunter is always so calm.
Yeah, that's so funny.
Yes, he never got excited. Always see stuff was fun, man. It was really tough. You know, you look back at the brackets, it's just one division. You know, like we're always like, man, you win a junior high title. You know, I kind of always see the younger kid stuff. You know, it's very good competition, but sometimes dads will tell me that they're 6-time state champion.
Right. Okay, right. Okay.
You know.
Right.
But we
don't even recognize that. I don't know if you noticed that, but so we don't even put like, when we say 2-time or 3-time OEC champ, we don't even, on our website, we don't say grade school 4-time. We don't, cause dad's like, well, where's he rank on all time OEC champ? I was like, we don't even put it, we don't keep track. I was like, you tell me, you can look at the brackets, but
yeah,
you know what I mean? Obviously it's important. It's important, but like the junior high, you know,
good, right? It's important to have something to shoot for. Right. But you know, it's just, you know, it's sometimes it gets, no, was, I did a camp once and kid asked me how many world titles I had. And I was like, well, I just won, you know, I won one, you know, he was like, oh, that's cool. I've won 4. He's like, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. It's pretty good. And it was just funny cause kids are so innocent. So it's like, it wasn't like even a joke. He was like, oh, that's cool. I'm like, that's good. So, or maybe it was national titles.
All right.
Like, oh, you know, 1-4. He's like, oh, well, right. Me too. I'm like, good job, buddy. Right. But the OAC stuff was fun, man. It was cool to have that event. I remember my sixth grade year, because I didn't really lose that much. Mm-hmm. So my sixth grade year, I lost at Tulsa. So I went third, first, second at Tulsa. And it was kind of an upset, I think. I mean, the kid was good, obviously. I usually won everything. Mm-hmm. So when I lost, it was like a big deal. At least in my mind, it wasn't, obviously it wasn't a big deal, but in my mind, it was a big deal. And, so then I wrestled junior high state, and won that. And I was like, wow, it's okay. I'm like, I remember vividly this moment. When someone asked how my year went, and I remember thinking like, if it was a week before, I would have been like, not that good. I didn't win Tulsa, you know. I was probably 50-1, but in my mind, I would have been like, well, it was okay, you know, not the best. But I remember after the junior high, I was like, it was a good year, you know, junior high state champion, it was a good year. So that was one of the first times, kind of just like, you know, realizing that, okay, I lost. So what, you know, able to, you know, win the big event of the year. Always had a cool relationship with OAC, and, you know, there was no grade school when I was in school. So,
okay.
I always ask the kids, I'm like, how many times do you think I won grade school state? And they're like, oh, 4, 5, 6, and then 0. it was cool. It was fun. It's fun to, you know, to wrestle in the same event, you know, as Hunter, a big event like that, you know. So my seventh grade year, Hunter was always the underdog, which he thrived there. He thrived being underdog. So he lost a cam, I think, at the districts. Okay. So then they're opposite sides, and then so he had like Gus Sick going in the quarters, and Gus was, I think, projected to win. Because I think Gus beat Jamie Clark.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. And then Jamie ended up, right?
Jamie beat Hunter in the finals.
Jeez.
Yeah. And Jamie beat Cam. And yeah, you look at those brackets and you're just like, wow, man, there's some studs. And most of them trained with us, the little guys.
Right. That's a good point.
So all those kids like Jamie, Jerome, you know, Sammy White. Mm-hmm. We didn't train too much with Gus, but we just knew him so well. You know,
right.
All the tournaments and the relationship just with, you know, Northeast Ohio-ish. So, the OAC stuff was cool. The Prairie Champions, I remember the Prairie, like, you had one, a similar one in Tulsa, but, you know, there's something different when there's, like, when there's a ring of state title, you know, and it was cool.
Knew all the names too. When you're out Tulsa, obviously, you know some of the national names, but when you're higher, like, okay, these are the guys, right?
Yeah, the names. And then you're like, well, it's best in Ohio. Perfect.
Right. Yeah. So that video, there's a whole full length one, and there's a Parade of Champs too, but I think we were talking off there. My brother Corey, he was, had to be, I don't know how old, but he actually videoed the whole thing and made a highlight video back then, you know, back in the day.
Yeah.
So it's kind of funny, you know, before Zeb was getting on the camera. But, and then I think that one, one of them at Kent, that was my first, you know, it started my senior year, but I remember coming back because I was probably working or whatever, but I remember them talking about, you know, check out this David Taylor guy, check out this Logan Stieber guy. You know, you guys were young, but here I was at Kent, you know, old guy. But I remember, you know, being a local guy, you know, a lot of knew a lot of Monroeville, Norwalk, you know, Milan people, and they're like, check this little guy out, you know. And
yeah. Well, we all know you guys. You guys are legends, man. The Opfers.
No.
The Opfers are it's the first family, you know, first family. You guys just absolute legends. I remember your dad. I remember, you know, it's funny how these little memories come up. I remember your dad, my senior year, districts, senior year. I won in the semis, probably pinned the kid fast. And he was like, hey, he's like, congratulations on making it state. He's like, I know, you know, it's something that is expected, but he's like, you know, don't take it for granted. Like, it's a big deal. Congratulations.
Right.
I thought that was pretty cool. Cause I knew, I mean, I've seen your dad. I know your dad for a while, but it was a very human, very like, just like a real moment where he's like, you're serious. It wasn't like haha, of course you won. Like,
right.
Seconds. Like, it was like, hey, like a sincere congrats. Like, don't take it for granted. Like, this is, it's be proud of it type of thing. So that was cool.
Yeah, he's a pretty sincere guy. You know, he kind of looks rough and tough, but we were pretty blessed with that. You know, you talk about the family, obviously, you've lived it, but having him, you know, being there was pretty cool. You know, he always had a perspective on things when life was, you know, bad for somebody, he was that guy. And, you know, it sounds exactly like something he would say, you know?
Yeah. I was kind of like taken aback by it because it's like, oh, like it was just like for us, you know, there were some tough kids, but for the most part, you know, we were, you know, ahead of the curve.
Right.
Kids you wrestled.
Yeah.
It was cool. It's a cool moment.
That's pretty cool. Anything else you have you want to share or tell or talk about? You have anything else?
I mean, I'm excited. You know, this weekend, we're competing at the RTC Cup, so that's gonna be fun.
Okay. Yeah.
It's been fun, kind of doing. Juggling, you know, the multiple hats of RTC and the club coach, and kids are doing well. And, you know, my assistant Sal is a beast. So he crushed it. We have two other guys, Morgan Smith and, Mitch, a kid named Mitch McGinnis. He wrestled at Nebraska. So he's in Columbus now. So he helps us out. So yeah, I got a great crew. Our parents are pretty cool, pretty awesome. So yeah, it's been fun. It's been fun doing it and I'm learning a lot, and it's been good. So
cool.
It's a cool podcast, so keep them up.
No, thanks. I'm glad we could have you on, and you know, can have you back on in the future, talking college or Ohio State stuff, and kind of digging on that, you know, those thoughts and process too. But I'm sure you get that a lot, right? Not many people talk about, you know, your small town Monroeville, Ohio, Milan stories. So
yeah.
Well, thanks for jumping on, man. We'll see you soon, hopefully, here.
Yeah, thank you.